Good morning, and welcome to Simply Finance. It's Sunday, March 31st. On today's show, Peter Schiff warns of a far more devastating outcome than the 2008 global financial crisis, as he criticizes Jerome Powell's misguided optimism. Plus, we'll take a look at the personal finance guru who spiraled into debt. This coverage and more, up next. I'm David, and you're listening to Simply Finance. We start off with a focus on the Federal Reserve, under Jerome Powell's leadership, which has indicated a leaning towards 3 rate cuts this year. However, with the annual rate of the Personal Consumption Expenditure Index ticking up in February, economist Peter Schiff has issued a warning that the central bank could be mistaken in its approach. Here with us to discuss this further is Michael, a correspondent for Simply Finance. Can you tell us more about Schiff's warning?
Certainly, David. Schiff is arguing that despite the Fed's claim that inflation is heading towards its 2% target, the market suggests otherwise. He points to the rally of gold past the $2,200 per troy ounce mark as an indicator that inflation is actually moving in the opposite direction. Schiff believes that the market is a more reliable indicator than the Fed, and suggests that if the Fed was truly data dependent, the rising gold price would prompt it to raise interest rates.
And what about the personal spending and income figures for February?
Schiff noted that personal spending surged up 0.8% month over month in February, which is significantly more than the 0.3% rise in personal income. He argues that the 0.3% monthly increase in the personal consumption expenditure understates the impact inflation has on prices. In his view, falling real wages are forcing consumers to borrow more and deplete savings to pay higher prices for fewer goods.
Schiff also mentioned the CRB Commodity Index. Can you explain the significance of this?
Yes. Schiff highlighted that the CRB Commodity Index has risen 12% so far this year and could end 2024 with as much as 50% gains, compared to a flat performance in 2024. He questions whether this sharp increase in commodity prices is consistent with lower inflation and a falling consumer price index.
Schiff has also made some strong statements about the Fed's upcoming rate cut. Can you elaborate on this?
In a separate post, Schiff suggested that the upcoming Fed rate cut may be the central bank's biggest policy blunder, which would vindicate former Fed Chair Arthur Burns, who infamously allowed inflation to run rampant. Schiff believes that the rise in price is a clear signal that the current monetary policy is too loose and that the planned rate cuts are a mistake.
What about Schiff's comments on the state of the U.S. economy?
Schiff warned of a more serious crisis than the 2008 global financial crisis. He believes that Powell's current optimism on the state of the U.S. economy is misguided and that we are on the verge of a far more devastating financial and economic outcome.
From dire predictions to personal finance success stories, let's switch gears. Lauren Cobello, once known as the Coupon Lady, was a personal finance influencer who commanded $5,000 per YouTube video. She had no financial background, but managed to get her family out of $40,000 debt by couponing and budgeting, and people wanted to know how she did it. However, after her divorce in 2017, her financial view changed dramatically. James, can you tell us more about her story?
Certainly, David. Lauren Cobello was a regular on the Today Show and Good Morning America, and she was blogging and working with newspapers. She was invited to church groups and seminars to share her financial wisdom, and she even had a family budgeting podcast with her then-husband, Mark. But when her marriage fell apart in 2017, she found herself in debt and no longer wanted to talk about her finances.
So how did she handle this change in her personal life and its impact on her professional life as a finance influencer?
She continued posting to her 350,000-plus social media followers, but she was struggling behind the scenes. She felt trapped and was tired of budgeting and talking about it. In September last year, she decided to go public with her debt at a personal finance conference. She spoke about what had been going on behind the scenes, and it was a very emotional moment.
That must have been a difficult decision. How did her followers react?
She received a lot of support from her followers when she came clean on Instagram. She announced that her content would focus on her new business, a PR agency for authors, and she would be posting about her clients instead of herself. Surprisingly, she didn't lose her followers.
And how has her financial view changed since then?
She's a completely different person now. She doesn't set a budget, and she breaks all the rules. She sold her house and is renting, which finally lifted her out of debt. She's leasing a car, and she gets groceries delivered, has someone do her laundry, and has a house cleaner. She lives within her means and spends money on things that bring her joy. She's no longer the coupon lady, and she's comfortable with that.
Thanks for sharing that transformation, James. Speaking of finance, a recent government survey in Japan has revealed that a record 63.2% of respondents do not feel financially secure and have a negative outlook on their future. This is the worst result since the question on reasons for dissatisfaction was added to the survey in 2008. Here to discuss this further is Abby, a correspondent for Simply Finance. Can you tell us more about this survey and its findings?
Certainly, David. The Cabinet Office poll, which assesses public opinion on economic and social attitudes, showed that the proportion of people experiencing financial stress in 2023 rose 0.7 percentage point from the previous year. This increase is largely attributed to surging prices. The poll was mailed to 3,000 people aged 18 or older, with a response rate of 57.1%.
What were some of the specific concerns raised by the respondents?
The survey found that 28.6% of respondents cited difficulties in child rearing, while 28.2% said it is hard for young people to be independent. Additionally, 26.2% feel it is difficult for women to play active roles in society, and 25.8% expressed dissatisfaction with their work environment. The area where Japan is seen as heading in a negative direction was price inflation, with 69.4% of respondents expressing this concern.
How does this tie in with the broader economic situation in Japan?
In 2023, Japan's core consumer prices rose 3.1%, marking the fastest pace of increase in 41 years. Meanwhile, real wages fell 2.5% for the second straight year, as salary increases failed to keep pace with inflation. A separate private sector poll showed that 46.1% of regular workers from dual-income households said they are struggling financially. The average annual household income for people on a tight budget was calculated to be 7.12 million yen, compared with 8.78 million yen for households who are not under stress.
Were there any positive findings in the survey?
Yes, there were some positive findings. The Cabinet Office poll found that 25.1% of respondents said medical and welfare services are heading in a better direction. Other areas seen as improving included disaster prevention at 24.1% and public security at 18.6%.
Thanks for that report, Abby. Now, shifting gears to the world of cryptocurrency, which has seen its fair share of ups and downs, with bad actors and market crashes often dominating the headlines. However, the resilience of the crypto ecosystem is often overlooked. Today, we're discussing the concept of crypto as a Lego financial system, a term that refers to its interconnected yet independent building blocks. Here to delve into this is our correspondent, Bella. So Bella, can you explain this Lego analogy in the context of crypto?
Absolutely, David. The Lego analogy refers to the idea that the crypto world is made up of various building blocks, each with its own function and purpose. These blocks can be assembled and disassembled as needed, much like Lego bricks. This flexibility and modularity is a key strength of the crypto ecosystem. It's what allows the system to remain functional and resilient, even when individual components or actors fail.
What are some of these building blocks that make up the crypto world?
The building blocks of the crypto world include consensus mechanisms, blockchain technology, cryptocurrencies, and smart contracts. Consensus mechanisms, such as proof of work or proof of stake, secure the network in a decentralized manner. Blockchain technology provides a transparent record that doesn't require a third party to verify. Cryptocurrencies are digital assets secured by cryptography, and smart contracts are programmable agreements for automating transactions.
How do these building blocks interact to create the crypto ecosystem?
These foundational technologies can be combined in various ways to create different elements of the crypto infrastructure. For instance, non-fungible tokens, or NFTs, use a foundational blockchain and a smart contract. Similarly, Ethereum's switch from proof-of-work to proof-of-stake consensus was essentially a swapping out of foundational blocks. The key point is that each building block is independent and can function on its own, which makes the entire system resistant to failure.
So, despite the negative headlines, the core technology of the crypto ecosystem remains robust.
Exactly. While there have been scams, hacks, and fraudulent actors in the crypto world, the core technologies, consensus mechanisms, blockchain, cryptocurrencies, and smart contracts have continued to function. Even during the crypto winter of 2022 and 2023, these foundational technologies didn't stop working. This resilience is a testament to the strength of the crypto ecosystem's building blocks.
Thanks for that fascinating perspective, Bella. And with that, we wrap up our stories for today. Thanks for listening to Simply Finance. We'll see you back here tomorrow.